challenge to do all of this in this way. Y'all are hardy, hardy souls, all of you. So about 20 years ago, I was attending my first Samhain ritual at the UU church that I had recently joined. There was this beautiful altar in the middle of the room decorated with candles and with apples and squashes and all these colorful leaves and lots of people sitting around it in a rough circle. We had just cast a circle, calling on the four directions for protection and for guidance. And our ritual leaders had just talked about the shining isle that I told you the story about a little while ago. It was a beautiful and engaging experience until the point when one of the ritual leaders said, "And now I invite you to think about an ancestor of yours." I'm the child of immigrants. My family came here from Germany in the 1950s. They left their families and they started new lives and brand new relationships in this country. We visited some of that family every summer, but it wasn't enough for me to feel much connection with any of my blood relatives. I was a child visiting old people related to my parents. Most of them have passed now, those relatives, but because of the lack of close ties when I was growing up, they are not who comes to mind when I'm called to think about an ancestor. I didn't know them well enough to have any real sense of what they have passed on to me. And so in that moment at my first Samhain ritual, I thought about my Omi, my mother's mother, who we visited every summer until she died when I was 13. I tried to call her presence to my mind and heart as I knew all the people around me were doing 25 years later after she had died, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't remember enough about her to make a meaningful connection between our lives as we were being invited to do. So I spent the energy we were being invited to direct into reflecting on a connection with an ancestor, feeling confusion and some shame instead. I have since learned to broaden my understanding of ancestors, thinking of them really as all who have come before us. There are parents and our grandparents and others in our families who aren't with us anymore, yes, for sure. There are also the friends and the neighbors and the acquaintances with whom we have had a range of relationships, whose presence in our lives we miss. And they're the people in our communities who died before us, whose lives and whose names and whose work we remember. All those people who have lived and died, all their work, all their experiences, their relationships, they are our ancestors. They've all impacted the world we've inherited from them in some way, and we live with the choices they have made. Our ancestors are also the people in our world whose lives have ended or were ended. We remember them in our thoughts and our lives, sometimes by thinking about them and talking about them, holding them in our hearts, sometimes by doing things they would have wanted us to do, keeping their intentions alive in the world, and sometimes by doing things in their names that they could not have imagined, bringing love and justice into the world, actualizing some of their intentions. And so we're held in a cloud of ancestors all the time, no matter what we know or how we are connected with the people in our families of origin. And so now, when I bring my ancestors to my mind and my heart, I think of my Omi with some sadness for the lost chance of relationship. I think of my dad with love and with care. And I think of Nancy, the woman at my church leading that first Samhain ritual, who saw my gift for ministry and nurtured it, who introduced me to her daughter and son-in-law, who are now the people I call family. I think of Denny Davidoff and David Bumba and Jim Key, Unitarian Universalists who I knew, who helped the continuing evolution of our faith tradition. I think of John Cook and Tom Kemble and Pat Schneider and James Phillips and Carl Landsness, Reavers, who many of us knew and loved. And I think of Carolyn Bartlett Crane and Florence Buck and Mary Safford and Eleanor Elizabeth Gordon, the women Unitarian ministers who came to the Western frontier in the late 1800s to minister in congregations unwanted by the men of their generation who didn't want to be out in the wilds. And I draw courage and inspiration from knowing they survived and thrived in the loneliness and the difficulties of their work. Widening my understanding of who my ancestors are has been good for me. It helps me feel connected to my human family. It gives me a sense of comradeship. It helps me appreciate what I have. It also helps me remember that even though I only have one child of my own, that there are many people in the next generation whose lives I might affect. I am an ancestor too. And I think about creating relationship with those people for whom I will be an ancestor. If there are people of the next generations already born in your families, then that relationship is already present and tangible, right? And just like there are people we think of ancestors to whom we have no blood relationship, there will be people for whom we are ancestors who are not related to us. I think it requires the same kind of intention that building relationships in our current lives takes to create an understanding of what your relationship might be with those to whom we are ancestors. It's why I chose this second reading. I think about the people who will think of me holding the crumbling world in one hand and the germinating seed of life in the other, the generations of folks who will have to live in the world that our generation and the generations before us have shaped into whatever shape that world becomes. We have legacies to leave, and we have an earth home and systems of equity and of justice to build for those to whom we are ancestors. They tell us, we know you are listening to your children, to the wind, to the birds, to the voice that startles you from sleep just before dawn, to the harbingers of a new consciousness. We salute you because what you do now matters. May it be so. And may we be so.